Welcome in to another edition of The Current Report, our weekly roundup of what's happening in the world of digital media. I'm your host, Chris Brooklier. It's a Paramount-filled episode today, as we'll be talking with Paramount Advertising COO Steve Ellis, and later, we'll hear from President of Advertising John Halley. One of the big stars of Paramount's earnings report last week was its standout streaming numbers. Revenue growth for Paramount Plus increased a staggering 69% year over year, and the broadcaster's president and CEO, Bob Bakish, expects that Paramount Plus will be profitable in the U.S. by next year. This comes weeks after the Super Bowl on CBS was the most watched telecast ever, and it was also the most streamed Super Bowl ever. Now, all of these results are big news as Paramount plunges into the future while undergoing a transformation, according to Bakish. So to get into it all, let's bring on Steve Ellis. All right, Steve, happy to have you here. How you doing?
Good, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was listening in on the earnings call for Paramount. It felt like, to me, streaming was one of the big parts of it and one of the key drivers in terms of what the future could be for Paramount. So do you feel like Paramount Plus could be possibly ahead of schedule in terms of, you know, kind of the revenue chances and overall strategy for Paramount?
I think we feel pretty good about, you know, the momentum that we have, as you saw, in terms of subscriber additions, but also through the advertising lens. You know, for a while, we've been going to market as an ad team in a unified way with video. You know, endpoints are not as important to our clients as audience and reach, and combining our broadcasts and cable and streaming audiences for our advertisers gives us, you know, huge amounts of scale. It's the kind of scale and reach that our clients want. So from the ad perspective specifically, you know, we go to market with a sort of bundle of digital assets that we call IQ, and we feel, you know, we've done a pretty good job, and it's no secret the challenge on the linear side, but we've done a pretty good job, we feel, in making that transition to the ad-supported streaming. We were first to commit to it with ad-supported tiers in Paramount Plus, with the acquisition of Pluto, and we feel we have as much scale as any player in the market in terms of audience reach around premium content. And as I'm sure we'll talk about throughout this conversation, we believe there's an increasing opportunity in ad-supported streaming around premium video, long-form video, 30-second ads. And whilst, look, there's work to be done, there's always work to be done, we planted the flag a lot sooner than everyone else.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, Paramount and CBS were really innovators in the streaming space all the way back to, you know, CBS All Access. And it's interesting, though, how do you balance sort of in between linear right now and streaming, and how do you, you know, sort of mix both of those from an advertising perspective?
Well, the first thing is, I would remind everyone, what is obvious is that we are coming off of a very large merger of the Viacom and CBS teams. And here in the advertising business, we very meticulously planned that merger to create a unified video ad sales team. And a year or so ago, when John Halley took over as president of ad sales, you know, we made that transformation into a single video team. And so the reason we did that was because we are trying, and I feel like now ensuring that we put our actual customers first. And so the answer to your question is, we ask our customers who they're trying to reach, and we package and orient our video advertising to their needs, depending on the audience they're trying to reach. And the beauty of having still, as you also probably saw from last week, an incredibly successful broadcast slate of programming, whether you're talking about the sports successes or just the programming successes from a week ago, 16 of the top 16 shows in broadcasting. And then you combine it with the reach that the Pluto and Paramount Plus ad-supported tiers have. Our clients have choice. And depending on the audience they want to reach, it can be a focus that leans into more than one or the other, or it can be a spread across them all. And that's the transition that's occurring and that we've been managing with this IQ product, which is, you know, well on its way to being a significant portion of our ad revenue.
Wow. Obviously, we're just coming out of the Super Bowl, right? We've got March Madness on the horizon. Does it feel like to you that, in terms of streaming-wise, that live sports are a bigger differentiator in terms of getting people to subscribe to these services?
I think so. I think that sports is just America's greatest thing. You know, it's just an incredible thing. The NFL has done such an incredible job with its product. March Madness is a terrific product. The entertainment, the drama is fantastic. And I would remind people that for all the talk that we've heard over the last few years and the understandable success of platforms, social platforms with the scale they have, getting 100 million people to spend 4 or 5 hours watching the same thing, or the millions and millions of people who watch sports in general, or the millions of people who watch some of our best franchises in broadcast and streaming, is hard to do and is a significantly competitive reach and engagement vehicle compared to a 6-inch screen and scrolling past with your thumb on a 2-second video. So it's still very impactful, and sports is a major, major part of that. And it's driving a lot of our increasing creative success. You know, we launched a sort of creative studio around sports a few months back, and it's been wildly successful because ideas and reach and sports are a very powerful combination. So we see it without question as a very important part of our business, and we're seeing the success leading with sports in many cases.
Yeah, and sports is the entryway in, but it doesn't mean that that's the only thing that these people are consuming, right? I saw a stat that people that come to Paramount Plus for live sports, you know, they spend 90% of their time not even watching sports content, and that's kind of incredible, right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. When you go into any kind of sort of customer acquisition business, which is what streaming is, you know, you're always looking for ways to acquire users and then maintain and optimize those users when they come into your service. Whatever service you're providing, you know, there are many, many different businesses across the spectrum that do the same sort of thing and try and do it well from a product perspective. But in content, it's particularly useful to have things that attract attention, and then it's beholden upon you to maintain that engagement. And it's a constant challenge for everyone.
I wanted to pivot to the upfronts because we're approaching the upfront season. The second year in a row, Paramount is not doing one of these glitzy upfronts presentations. How do you feel like just the process of the upfronts is changing? Like, do you think it's as important as it maybe was before?
It's still very important. And we feel very, very good about the change we made, because the upfront is so much more a strategic conversation with our most important partners and clients. And in a world that's, you know, a little more complicated than it used to be, our approach to the upfront with dinners is much more intimate, and we feel much more intelligent. And those are the sort of two words we try and drive in all of our trade marketing efforts, which is intimacy and intelligence. Like, we want to be able to share true intel with our clients around new ideas, new developments, new content. And we want it to be intimate enough so people can really listen and think. And these dinners were very well received last year we did them, and we intend to stick with that plan. We're very happy with how it works and the outcome it helps us drive.
I saw Paramount was placing sort of a special priority on small businesses and trying to get small businesses to come into streaming. Is streaming sort of the perfect fit for that, because there's so much ability for maybe a smaller business to get into streaming as opposed to through linear, let's say on a live sport?
Yeah. Well, look, let me give you some real info on that one. The first thing to remember is how much the business has changed just in the last 3 years here as we constructed post the merger a single streaming go-to-market strategy behind what we call IQ, which is a business-to-business methodology for buying across all of our ad-supported streaming with suitable reach and frequency controls. We have inventory, and we have a lot of it. So that's the first thing. Second of all, through programmatic purchase, we're now serving thousands of advertisers, which was not the case in traditional broadcast and cable businesses for years, obviously. You know, so we've already expanded the aperture to the number of advertisers we serve through the programmatic lens. The SMB space in premium video, we believe, is still a space that is underserved. Underserved from a product perspective, underserved from an awareness perspective, and underserved from a performance perspective. And although those SMBs have been very, very active on social platforms, where, to the great credit of the platforms, it's very easy to buy and very simple to execute and to do relatively small amounts of spend, you know, we are serving already similar customers through the programmatic lens. We want and will build a product that's much, much more effective and easy to use than the current versions we think that are out there. and we believe that this space premium video is the one space left in media with scale that SMBs have not really had an optimized experience for. And we believe there is an excellent opportunity in expanding the number of advertisers we work with. And it's streaming and ad-supported streaming in that scale that allows us to even investigate that opportunity. So it's very important.
Awesome. Yeah, it'll be really cool to see where that goes in the future. The last thing I want to hit on with you was, you guys crushed the Super Bowl, right? Could name a million stats about how it went well. When you get the next Super Bowl, is there anything that you're thinking in terms of stuff that you want to do that's innovative, or what do you want to build on success-wise?
Well, the most important thing, as you know, is that the Philadelphia Eagles make the Super Bowl the next time there is a Super Bowl, Chris. That's the number one criteria we're looking for, because obviously America knows that Philadelphia Eagles fans provide an important cultural touchstone for the country, and their sophisticated appreciation of that excellent franchise is a poetic justice within the American conversation. But that aside, we did a bunch of things, as you know, with Nickelodeon that were very successful. And I would say that the single greatest thing we think we can do and continue to do with our partners in all sports is be more creative, supporting around the road to, during, post, on the way we add more, I would say, creative and experiential aspects to anything sporting we do. That to me would be areas we can expand on. But it's also my belief that sports will continue to be just a massive audience driver for anyone fortunate enough to have rights to great sporting events like we do.
We might have to edit out the Eagles part, you know, as a suffering Cowboys fan myself. But we'll let you know. I'll let you know when the episode comes out.
Dub in the Dallas Cowboys when I say Philadelphia Eagles. That's what you're going to say.
All right, Steve. It was a pleasure talking with you. Have a good one.
Good to talk to you, man. Thanks.
Next, here's our roundup of what's making news across the internet. In what's primed to be a watershed moment for streaming, streaming revenue is projected to pass pay TV revenue in the US for the first time ever later this year. All these projections come from research from Ampere Analysis, who note that ad revenue from streamers is a key driver to that toppling. $9 billion is projected to come from streaming advertising revenue, more than half of the total estimated $17.3 billion. And Amazon's entry into the streaming ad game plays a crucial role here, providing more scale and chances for brands to advertise. And finally, we're capping off this episode with one last thing. I recently wrote about how new ad formats are emerging as a bigger part of the streaming world, and for the marketplace to truly unlock its full potential, there needs to be more done than copy-pasting the same 30-second ad onto streaming. Paramount's president of advertising, John Halley, captured the sentiment at the Forward 24 TV's Tipping Point event hosted by the Trade Desk in New York last week.
We're in the middle of an incredible transformation in terms of the way that people read different advertising formats. Look, the early days of digital video was just TV transported with, you know, better targeting, still kind of viewed as a top-of-the-funnel product. Connected TV is not that, right? Connected TV does not look like its linear predecessor. It is a full funnel product that can deliver both targeting and attribution and optimization.
And that's it for this edition of The Current Report. For a deeper dive on all these stories plus more, check out thecurrent.com. And of course, please like and subscribe on YouTube, plus leave us a review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen. And if you want to hear more from The Current, listen to The Current Podcast, where we interview some of marketing's biggest leaders about their keystone career moments and where the industry is going next. We'll see you next week.